And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Now, I can tell you that for now, the lines are closed for the tickets to our Highland Radio Mega Summer Cash Draw. We're doing the first of those draws at 11:30 during our entertainment slot. Now, I will also remind you that those lines will open up once again pretty much as soon as that draw is done, and you can then start buying your tickets. There is a draw today. There'll be a draw every Friday between now and September 1st, and a prize of €2,500 being given away weekly. And then at the end of the process, there'll be a draw for €10,000. And in the event that you win one of the €2,500 prizes, by the way, don't forget your ticket goes straight back in and you're eligible for the following and subsequent week's draws as well. So we will be doing the draw for that first €2,500 prize at 11:30 this morning. Michael and Fionnuala are in studio. We'll be going to them very, very shortly. I just want to also repeat our heritage question. It is National Heritage Week, and National Heritage Week are offering us two vouchers that we can give to people to enjoy the various outlets that Donegal and elsewhere have to offer. We're looking for the name of a place. Heritageweek.ie, by the way, is the website where you can get all the information. We're looking for the name of a place in Donegal. Now, this place is a castle in a park. It is surrounded by a large lake. You can walk to it or get a bus, and you can do walks around the area during which you can stop and have a nice cup of coffee and a pastry in the cafe while you are doing it. What location in Donegal are we talking about? 086 60 25000 for text answers to that. Just give us your name and give us your answer, and we'll be doing that draw very shortly. As we say, the €2,500 draw coming up at around 11:30. But first, and most importantly, time for this. This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio, and this is the entertainment slot, which means we are joined in studio by Michael and Fionnuala. You're both very welcome indeed. I always love doing the show on a Friday because we get to have this conversation.
Hello, Donal. How's it going?
How are
going
you?
Going very well indeed. And we've already started the off-air chat.
Off-air chat, yeah.
As is inevitable. So let's continue that off-air chat, and we'll go to Indiana Jones 5, Indiana Jones, and it's the Dial of Destiny.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
the
right.
Dial of I can never remember now. I've got to the point where it's always Indiana Jones and something to do with a kingdom of a skull or something.
Yeah, yeah. Something, a crystal,
so,
yeah.
It's 5, so yeah. This one is 5.
That's what I was writing in the notes. Yeah, that's. I just kept it simple. Kept it simple. I was like, I'll just keep it simple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Now, I went to this last weekend. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Now, you are not perhaps as enthusiastic as me, Fionnuala.
Oh, no, I was very disappointed in it, I'm afraid. I did. It started off amazing, and I was like, oh, God, this is going to be fantastic. Mm. I really went to see it because, one, I loved the idea of them kind of wrapping up Harrison Ford's story in it. They had a lot of plans for this franchise back in the day when they did 4, and it was supposed to have been the start of kind of a new franchise and a new Indiana Jones, but the actor that they had chosen to play his son, it seems to have gone a little bit left of sideways in his career, and it just didn't take off. So this idea was that Indiana Jones would suddenly meet up with his godchild, and that was played by Phoebe Bridgers, who I absolutely love as well. So I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing now. I can't wait to see this. It started off great. Fantastic CGI, really brilliant. In the first kind of maybe half hour or so, you were like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. They've really thrown money at this. And then all of a sudden they were on a train and you're like, oh yeah, this took a left turn.
Yeah.
And it never really picked up for me then after that. It kind of felt like they didn't have much of a story and they kind of padded it out rather than go give you depth.
It's interesting you're saying that.
Yeah, I thought they'd go back to the original kind of
formula. Yeah, it is interesting you're saying that because I discussed this. I went with my better half last weekend, as I say. Now, her view was loved the beginning, loved the end, really flabby in the middle.
Yeah.
And the conversation we seem to have time and time again with so many films is, it could have been 45 minutes shorter.
Oh, yeah. Fiona said that. You said 45 minutes as well.
Yeah,
you
did say that. It easily could have been those, like you see, that's like an hour and a half or whatever.
Because there was, mind, I mean, if you said, what's the average time of a film? I would have always said 90 minutes.
I agree.
And it used to be 90 minutes.
I agree.
Now it seems a film's got to be minimum 210, 220. And I think, are they... Okay, director's cuts are all very well, and there was a time when, you know, you'd go to a film, then the director's cut would come out on video and you can see the 12 minutes left on the cutting room floor. Sometimes that 12 minutes was put on the cutting room floor for a damn good reason.
Yeah.
Completely agree, yeah. Completely agree, yeah. You don't always need 2 hours plus to tell a story.
Yeah.
You don't. I just, you know.
You definitely didn't need it in this. I mean, it starts off so good that you really think you're going to get the 1, 2, and 3 of the of the Indiana Jones. It goes back to his youth when he would have been the original, you know, the original Indy. It starts telling you, you know, that similar kind of a story. There's bad guys after them.
Yeah.
They're trying to find the, doing their archaeological looks to try and find the bits, to put the bits together in order to create this dial of destiny.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like going, okay, it's got all the ingredients in it. But I just didn't really feel... I was amazed at how much I didn't like Phoebe Bridges in it, which I normally would...
I'm going to take you up on that. Because I thought one of the wonderful things about her character is that she was slightly ambiguous morally.
Yes, okay.
And I like that because, I mean, so many films like this is like, okay, good guy... bad guy.
Yeah.
Boo. Yay.
Yeah, it's straightforward.
But there was a lovely ambiguity about Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character that I actually liked. That it's like,
she would, she would do these things.
It kept on shifting. It isn't as though, oh, she's good. Oh, no, she's bad. It was far more subtle than that. And I actually liked that. I liked the fact that they're bringing in sort of subtlety and shade.
I liked the moral ambiguity, but I think like Fionnuala, I was more... I found the actress wearing as opposed to the character. On paper, I agree with you. But by the end, I wasn't amused by her shtick. I just wasn't getting it anymore. I felt like...
I would agree there was probably a bit too much of it. As now, you mentioned the scene on the train. Pauline, the way my wife described it was... all the underwater SHT is the way she phrased it, which I thought was a very succinct way of putting it. Mm. And I kind of agree with her there too. There was some stuff underwater that was a little far-fetched.
But for me, the problem with that middle section, whatever about it being far-fetched, it was just that it was boring.
Yeah.
I feel like, having seen the originals, particularly the first one and the third one, they were very... And that was the original idea. They're originally based on the 1930s and 40s serials.
Yeah.
So there was always a cliffhanger. And in the original movies, it's like every 10 minutes or something, there's something dramatic happens and it looks like Indy is about to get squashed or whatever. A whole sequence in the middle of this film is just, it should have been cut out because I wasn't excited.
Yeah.
Nothing that happened underwater was exciting.
No.
And that's, if you have a big section of an Indiana Jones film and it's not exciting, cut that out.
Yeah.
It's not Indiana Jones.
It could have been shorter. It could have been shorter. Were you satisfied with the end?
I did. I liked the ending.
Yeah.
I thought it was a long time coming, but I liked where they went in the last half hour. I thought it was fun, and I had no problems with it at all. It was great fun.
I'm the same, and there was a slight bit of misdirection, perhaps, where I thought it was going to go one way, and then it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go.
It did that very well.
It did. And I thought, it did wrap it up. Now, there's an argument that says maybe it wrapped it up a little bit too much in a box with a red bow and presented you going, happy birthday. But there is certainly a line of finality that was drawn under the sand, and maybe that's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing, yeah.
But it's an interesting one. I mean, I would certainly recommend people go to see it if they haven't done already. I mean, would you recommend people go, or would you wait until it appears on TV?
It's not an unenjoyable movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You'll go, you'll see there's a couple of big, like, cliffhanger that you're kind of...
A couple of moments,
moments that you're in it. It's just, don't go and see... Don't sit at home and watch one or two and then go and see this.
Yeah. You're not going to see Last Crusade again. Yeah. You're not going to see Raiders again.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like that.
No.
But it's when it goes big and when it works, that's when it, you know, when that happens,
it really
it's, yeah, it really works. But there's not enough of that, just that's all.
Now, I have watched some really great TV this year, and we'll get to some of it. As I see, Fionnuala, you actually have my favourite show of the year so far, actually, on your list, which we'll get to. But I want to go to what's going to be my next thing to watch, and that's going to start over the weekend, and that is Secret Invasion.
Okay. Secret Invasion is the next Marvel show. It finished a couple of weeks ago. This is, I think, the eighth or ninth show that they've had between Loki, WandaVision, Falcon, Moon Knight, Miss Marvel, She-Hulk, and others.
About half of which I've seen now at this stage.
I've loved all of the Marvel shows, and I like the way that the TV shows have gone to different genres. Like Ms. Marvel was very much a youth-orientated show, very highly acclaimed by the critics. It's continuing to win awards. Even last week, I seen it winning yet another American National Award. She-Hulk then was aiming more towards the female demographic, a sort of audience that would normally watch things like Dollface or Physical or, you know, Working Moms, those kind of shows. Secret Invasion is espionage. So it's aiming to do the sort of show that you get when you watch Jack Ryan or when you watch Slow Horses. The focus is probably Nick Fury, but I wouldn't say he's necessarily the main character in the show. It's very much an ensemble show compared to any of the other shows. Yeah. It runs for 6 episodes, but they're very short episodes. They're mostly half hours.
Yeah.
So it's the shortest of the Marvel TV series by far. It's only like 3 hours and a bit runtime.
Is this Nick Fury's origin story, as it were? Because,
no.
I mean, the Samuel L. Jackson character is a great character.
Yes.
But he just kind of appeared, and he keeps on coming and going and coming and going, and there is an air of mystery about him. So it makes sense to do the espionage phase. We don't get the origin story.
No, some of his origin was in the Captain Marvel movie a few years ago.
I do remember that.
And it picks up the threads, but this is very much set in the Marvel present day, which I think is a couple of years ahead of us at this stage because they jumped 5 years.
It's post everything.
Yes, it's post everything.
It's post that. Pauline hasn't watched the last couple of films. You have to know what that is before you can watch now about 4 films.
Yes, you do.
Because if you don't know what that
confused.
Is, you're
confused.
Going to be completely confused.
So the bottom line for me about Secret Invasion is this show did not work for me at all. It's the first of the Marvel shows that completely fell flat for me. Critics haven't embraced it either. I have 2 reasons why I didn't like it, and they're very simple and straightforward. I think the espionage angle, they didn't pull it off. I kept comparing it to Slow Horses. I kept comparing it to Jack Ryan and 24 and all those brilliant espionage shows that we have at the moment or have had in the past.
Yeah.
I think I wasn't excited or invested in the scenario. I've seen these scenes done on shows again. You have 3 characters in a kitchen somewhere in Moscow talking about a dirty bomb that's out there somewhere. You've seen that in Jack Ryan, and you were sitting forward because you were like, oh, this is exciting and this is tense. When you see it in Secret Invasion, they lack the urgency. It just doesn't work for me. It never worked for me. And the second thing that didn't work for me, all of the Marvel shows that I listed were always about a specific character on a specific journey.
Yeah,
they went from A to B, and we were... In my case, I was invested in the character and I followed them on their journey. There's no character that equates with that experience in this show. It's not Nick Fury's journey. Yeah. Emilia Clarke is in the show. It could be her journey. I was dreading her in this because I don't rate her very highly, but I thought she was really, really good.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman, though, was the best thing in the show.
Yeah.
She was awesome.
You mentioned Emilia Clarke and Olivia Colman to me. I'm sold already.
Yeah, oh, they're fantastic.
I had those 2 names selling to me.
Yeah, very good.
And with Samuel Jackson, I mean,
as well,
that, talk about a cherry on the top.
Performances
are
good.
Hell of a cherry.
And you know who's a great... Don Cheadle is great in this. He gets some really good material.
Cheadle's a great actor.
He's a great actor, I agree completely. But he doesn't always get the best material in the Marvel thing. Sometimes he's just standing beside Tony looking tough.
Yeah.
But this time he's the centre of a lot of the action and Cheadle brings his A-game and there's some scenes with him and Samuel L. Jackson where the performances are top-notch. There's no doubt about it. But for me, this gets a big thumbs down.
Right. Fionnuala?
Well, I just didn't really fully understand it. I had seen, there's kind of a loose... connection to Captain Marvel, the movie, which was not in my top 5 Marvel movies anyway, so maybe I should have gone back and watched it again. But at the time when I started watching, I didn't even realise there was a connection there. I'd never heard of this. So it kind of took me a while to bed into it and sort of realise, what is this and why am I watching it? Now, it's like Michael said, it was way too long. There was no need for it. You know, they kind of went, instead of doing...
Even with half our episodes, it was way too
long. Well,
it started off as hour-long episodes and then it whittled down to half-hour episodes.
But there was enough story.
If you're whittling it down to half-hour episodes, you might as well just lop the whole lot together and just give me two movies or whatever with it, you know.
There was a lot of running to stand still. A lot of running around, and when the half hour was over, you were like, oh, we're no further forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was an awful lot of, like, you know, Jackson's very good, particularly with Nick Fury, a lot of pontificating, you know, the way where he's giving them all the big speeches.
But that is what Fury does. Exactly. He makes speeches and pontificates and
That's
tells
what he
people
does.
How they're wrong.
Now, whether or not this pays off down the road is the thing. Like, Emilia Clarke, Olivia Colman, is that going to be... Because we still haven't really seen the new Marvel Universe as such. Yeah. We've seen bits of it, but we haven't seen what it's going to look like when the whole lot comes together. You know, there's a new Avengers movie, I think.
There is, eventually, Kang will... I think it's Kang Dynasty is the title they're going with. That's a few years away, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're kind of seem to be in the middle of a transition with them. Now, as I said, this may pay off down the road, and you may be... You know, I could be in 2 years' time saying, oh my God, you totally have to watch Secret Invasion, or you have no idea what's going on or who these people are. But it just doesn't carry it. And I don't know. It's a thing as well with the indie. I'm sad to say now, because obviously I am aging along with these guys. Some of these guys are getting kind of old.
Yeah.
They're getting a bit old for this running around.
Yeah.
And, you know.
So are we in a stage then when what Marvel are doing is they're spending so much time flagging stuff that's going to happen in the future that they're not telling the story in the present?
I'm not sure that Marvel are doing that, but I think there's a fan expectation of that. I don't think there's really anything in this that is flagging the future. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised, going contrary to what you're saying, I wouldn't be shocked if we never see any of those people again. I think it's I don't think they really are doing that, but I do think that there is a section of fandom that expects a connectivity between the projects. And I actually think it's the opposite. I think Marvel I think they're actually diversifying. It's like they are trying to be a proper studio, and a studio doesn't always, like, when you think of Paramount or when you think of Universal, you don't think, oh, I must watch every film that studio puts out. So I think Marvel are actually going where, like, if you want to watch She-Hulk, watch it. Yeah. But if you don't want to watch She-Hulk, it's fine.
Are they sort of becoming victims of their own success then, in terms of that expectation?
I don't think I think it's because if you diversify and if you are I know from what I've seen online, women did watch She-Hulk who never watched any of the Marvel stuff before. They were drawn to it in a big way. So if you are bringing new people in to watch your product, you're winning.
And the time here on Highland Radio, 25 past 11. Now, we're just minutes away from that draw. Sean's going to be in studio with us very, very quickly in time for that draw for the first of our €2,500 prizes. That'll be done, as I say, in the studio very, very quickly. So if you want to join us for that, and if you can, go online, because you can watch the draw transpire live. We have the drum in studio. If you're watching online now, you'll notice that the drum has appeared just behind Michael there. If you're looking at the screen, and all the tickets are in, that's been verified, that's been checked. We'll be doing the draw very shortly. Before we go any further, though, I'm going to be a little bit sort of self-serving here, because I was looking down the two lists and I see, Fionnuala, you have on your list Good Omens 2, starring Michael Sheen and David Tennant. Now, I'm a huge Terry Pratchett fan. I'm a huge Neil Gaiman fan. And I loved Good Omens, the book. I loved the first series. I think Good Omens 2 is possibly the best thing I've seen on television this year. What's your take on it?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I am not a Terry Pratchett fan or a Neil Gaiman fan.
Do you like Michael Sheen?
I love him. I love him. And I
new
love
information.
David Tennant. But no, I wouldn't be a big fan of that kind of style of writing, you know, that sort of real fantasy. As I like the comic books and different things like that, I like the fact that they're based, you know, loosely on reality type. You know, they're in the real world type of thing. So I'm not really great with stuff that isn't in the real world. So I've never read Neil Gaiman. I've never read Terry Pratchett. I've tried to watch some of the stuff on Sky. Do you remember they used to do the Christmas ones?
They'd do something like Going Postal or Mort or Eric those, or one of...
A lot of them. And to be honest, they haven't really done it for me. Good Omens is amazing.
Yeah.
It's just so good. I loved the first series and I was really surprised. I literally went to it because Michael Sheen was in it.
Yeah.
And David Tennant. And they just have such an amazing rapport with each other. And I just think you just can't help but be drawn to them on the screen. Mm. Now, for anybody that hasn't seen it, they play two archangels. One of them who's
it's an angel and a demon. Sheen is a Seraphel who's an angel on Earth, and Tennant is Crowley, who is a demon, and they have forged initially a partnership and then a friendship, and they're both. They would claim to be mortal enemies, but they're also joined at the hip. And they're both slightly divorced from their colleagues in heaven and hell, respectively. And it's all about their relationship, and it's all about them. Stuff that's going on both in the underworld and in the celestial heights. And you have this wonderful character played by Jon Hamm, who comes in. And I think Hamm is brilliant in this.
He's so
and
brilliant.
He plays a character called Jim. Which is short for Gabriel, and who he is, and that just develops into such a wonderful story.
It just has everything. What I love about it, and even in the first series, it has so much heart, but it also then has the comedy in it. Yep. There's that, you know what I mean? There's really strong characters. I would highly recommend, you could walk into this and just watch the second series, but I would highly recommend anybody to go back and watch the first one again. The first series is basically about, you know, the potential end of the world.
Yeah.
And that suddenly that's how we meet these characters, where they're kind of reluctantly drawn together in order to work out what happened and what's going wrong and why might the world end.
Yeah.
And that kind of gives you the basis of it. In this, then, they brought back a lot of the same actors and actresses that were in the original one and just kind of put them in new roles.
Give them new characters, yeah.
And it's kind of moved on forward maybe like 6 or 7 months. The guys are a bit more relaxed on Earth, and then, as you said, Jim shows up and things start kicking off from there. It's less story, as in I didn't find the story as strong, but it's more reflective, I thought, with this second one. It's very much they're looking back over how Crowley and Aziraphale met, different things that happened in the past, the way they integrated with things in the Bible, and also with things that happened in the world. I just think it's absolutely fantastic.
The first series is very true to the book, which was a collaboration between Pratchett and Gaiman. Now, sadly, Terry Pratchett's no longer with us. Mm. He's passed away. So Gaiman's co-writer on this is John Finnemore. Now, I mean, people will know John Finnemore. He's been involved in an awful lot of stuff on the BBC. He's been one of these BBC regulars. Anyone that knows Finnemore's work will know that he's done well. That's a very, very good way of putting it, actually, that the first book was very story and plot driven. The second one, it's a bit more reflective, but it's a great series. Are you familiar much with this, Michael?
No, not at all. Yeah. I mean, I am familiar. I've read some. You mentioned Mort as one of the Terry Pratchett. I read that book many years ago. And I'm very familiar with Neil Gaiman's original Sandman comics, his novels.
Which was also on TV recently.
Yeah,
as well,
that was a great, I love that show, fantastic show. So I'm aware of the work of the people, and I am a big fan of David Tennant and the other guy. What's his name? Do you remember him? You've mentioned that once, I think, before. I do remember you mentioning. No, Sheen is fantastic. They're both fantastic. I'd like to get to it eventually, but it's a long list of things that I... it's a long list.
Of course. Pull this up your list.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is so good. And the if anybody has seen Staged, even if they're not known.
I want to see that first.
Seen the rapport that Michael Sheen and David Tennant, I know nothing about
amazing chemistry.
And where they have. They're like, one's Welsh, one's Scottish, so they obviously didn't grow up together, but they act like they grew up together.
They do, yeah.
They have an amazing rapport with each other. I don't know how they get anything done. Because even just seeing them acting together, you're like, they must have been like rolling around laughing. They just have an amazing rapport with this, and like just seeing them on together, it's just fantastic just to see the two of them together. They're like an old married couple, kind of a feeling.
Absolutely, and that piece on Staged with Judi Dench is just fantastic.
It's
brilliant. I think it's on YouTube, actually. If everyone look up Neil Tennant, Michael Sheen, Judi Dench, Staged, it's masterful, brilliantly done.
The great thing about this as well is because of the fact that it was giving you a lot of background in that, it really felt to me, much as I absolutely loved it, that it was a middle. And they obviously love doing this, and it just made you feel, oh God,
there is no doubt we're heading for series three. There is no doubt we're heading for series three.
Just has that sort of feel about it that you're just kind of like, oh God, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah, because I was, I won't say worried, but this was going to be the first Good Omens that wouldn't have had a Pratchett involvement in it.
Yes,
and I was, I won't say nervous, but I was always more of a Pratchett fan than a Gaiman fan. Right. I've read a bit of Gaiman.
All the Discworld?
I've read the entire Discworld three times.
I've
read Terry Pratchett's autobiography. Okay. I've read his shopping list. I've read all his sci-fi offshoots. I've pretty much read every word.
My friend Stephen, he's down in the country. He's down in Gorey, but you and Stephen would get on because that's how I got into to the degree that I did, because he would just give me the books. He would say, "You have to read this one." And this was back in the '90s, and I'd read them.
Have written every word Pratchett's written.
I have read. Excellent.
Now, we have business to do because I promised that we're going to give loads of money to someone this morning. What we're going to do is we're going to get a very quick ad break. And once we come back, I believe, Fionnuala, you're going to do the honours.
I've just been told
in my ear by Caroline, and if Caroline said it, it must be true. Trust me, if Caroline said it, what's going to happen.
Happening.
Short break. We're giving away the money after this. You're welcome back to the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Now, if you are watching online, you will see that Fionnuala is standing beside the drum and we are going to do our draw. So, Fionnuala, you're a bit away from the mic, but you can hear me there?
Yeah, I can, of course.
Excellent.
Pulling up a little bit here.
That's lovely. Okay, so basically all the numbers are in that. So we'll give the drum one final twist.
This is great.
Yeah.
This is, as you said, this is the start of our 2,500 giveaway, and we're giving away 2,500 every Friday right up until September 1st, I think is the first Friday. And then on that September 1st, we're going to be giving away 2,500 on Lee's show and 10,000 then on this show later in that afternoon. So plenty of opportunities for people to win some well-needed cash, I'd say, now that we've got kids going back to school, or if you've spent the whole summer here in Ireland and you're kind of thinking to yourself, I really need some October or September sun to top up the vitamin D after all the rain and everything we've had. So
okie doke,
open up and here we go. Oh my god, hang on.
Right.
Give it one more twist, sorry. One stuck there. I don't know. Anybody that feels that it's not fair?
Now, the other thing, of course, we have no idea. We have numbers in this, so we'll get the number and then Katie will cross-reference it. So if we saw a number, we have no idea whose number is what. So Fionnuala's reached in and we have
0161.
That's 0161. So Katie will go and cross-reference that against her list, and very shortly we will have the identity of our winner. So whoever is number 0161, and as we said earlier, your ticket goes back in. So just to prove that, Fionnuala,
it's
gone back in. So 01, and I'll just take a note of that. We will remember it, of course, but I'm just taking a note here. 0161. Katie's gone to cross-reference that against her list that she has on computer. As I say, we do not have any details in studio as to who has the tickets, so that's another way of ensuring things are above board. Caller says, with regards to the new Indiana Jones movie, I saw it. I believed it was fantastic. The CGI that was done at the start to make Harrison Ford look younger was really, and it was really well done. I thought the chemistry between Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Harrison Ford was really good. There was callbacks to previous movies as well, hence the train ride, and, you know, fair enough. And it was the best way to end the franchise. Loved it. Yeah, I will go along with that to a large extent. I do agree it was a little flabby in the middle, and I wasn't quite as down on it perhaps as Fionnuala was, but no, I would agree it was a great way to finish it, but I still think it was a bit flabby in the middle. I want to go back to yourself, Michael, and I know a series you raved about last year was The Bear.
Oh, The Bear, yeah, season two.
And The Bear season two is now there. Is it living up to expectation? Is it a fitting successor to its predecessor?
It's succeeding. I think it's even better. I'm chatting with Dahi, who's been in a couple of mornings, chatting with us here at lunch and a couple of times on Facebook, chatting with each other. Dahi loves it as well. Dahi has repeatedly compared it to The Wire and says it's just the greatest thing, you know, and I feel it's the best thing I'm watching on TV right now. I definitely feel it's really high on my all-time top 10 shows. The Bear is a half-hour drama series for those who are not familiar with it yet. It's on Disney. It's about a young man who's a very successful chef who returns to take over the family business after his brother very tragically takes his own life and sort of leaves everybody reeling. He enters the kitchen and it's a very toxic work environment. And through the first season, we just watched him try and turn things around, try and get these people to work together as a family, as a team, as people who respect each other, something that just wasn't seemingly was going to happen. Season two raises the game a lot as they try and restart the whole business from scratch and make it bigger and better. I think the show works on many levels. I'm deeply invested in the characters. It's a very profound show because you have one of the characters trying to find his place in life. He was one of the most toxic characters in the first season. His arc has been absolutely magnificent. In season two, he's trying to find his way in the world. It's also a very exciting show because now there's a whole business plan. They have a ticking clock in season two. They have to get certain things done or they lose everything. And that's really good. And the third thing I would say about the show that works for me, it's also a surprisingly emotional show. Fionnuala does tease me sometimes because, yes, I will occasionally wipe a tear away when I'm watching things. Like I'm going to see The Meg 2 this weekend. I'm sure I'll just be crying my eyes out, whatever. But the point is, on The Bear, when characters have a transformative moment, it works. They always stick the landing. I cannot praise this enough. I think it's definitely the best show I'm watching. It's probably the best show in production. Critics have raved about it. I cannot endorse it enough. 10 out of 10 is not enough for this show.
As I said, Secret Invasion is next on my list. I may have to revise that, actually, based on what you're just
saying. Well, the short episodes are short.
Yeah, I may revise that. Now, I'm going to break away from Michael and Fionnuala for just a moment. I'm going to go to line one and say, good morning, Gerard Crawford.
Hello.
Gerard, how are you?
Not too bad, all good.
Excellent. You're listening to us in St. Johnson, Gerard. And people, I'm sure, will at this stage have divined that the reason we're speaking to you is that you are now €2,500 richer than you were about 9 minutes ago.
Class. Love it.
Excellent. Well, it's always nice to be the bearer of good news. Gerard, what are you at this morning?
In saying that, I was just back from Mallorca. I was away on holidays.
Very good.
Tidying up around the house now, the last few days of what's left of the holidays.
Excellent. And presumably, if you've been away, maybe the bank account's a little bit depleted could do with a bit of a boost?
It definitely could, yeah.
Well, it's our pleasure, Gerard, to be able to boost that bank balance by at least €2,500. And congratulations to you.
Thank you very much. That was definitely a shock.
Okie doke. Well, I think we'd all like to get shocks like that at some point. Gerard, congratulations on the win. €2,500 on its way to you. Katie will be in touch and we'll make all those arrangements. But you are the winner of the first of our draws, Gerard. And your ticket's gone back in, of course. So, it could happen again.
Perfect. Thanks a million.
Right, Gerard, it's our pleasure. Well done. That's Gerard Crawford there in St. Johnson, the first of our €2,500 winners. As Fionnuala says, there are three more €2,500 prizes to be given away, one next week, one the week after. Then on the 1st of September, there'll be a €2,500 prize on Lee's programme on the Naughty Alarm Clock, and then on the 9 till noon show on that morning, there will be the big €10,000 winner prize drawn. And all the best to you. Fionnuala, going to go back to yourself. Only Murders in the Building. It's established itself as one of the sort of great contemporary series. Into season three now, is it living up to its predecessors?
Well, the only bad thing about Only Murders in the Building is that it doesn't all drop together. So it's very teasy. And I know.
Spoiled.
I started off.
You are spoiled.
I know. In 2020, if you'd said to me that I needed my TV programmes to all be available to me at one time. Yeah. I'd have been like, that is madness. I love watching them week by week.
Yeah.
But then suddenly you get used to it when it's something really good. Only Murders in the Building season three is just started off amazingly. I mean, first of all, the cast in it has just hit new heights.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep plays a terrible actress. Mm-hmm. A terrible actress who may or may not be psychotic. We're only in the beginning.
Yeah.
Only the first two episodes have dropped and they're just half hours now this time around. In the past, they had been a little bit longer than that. Mm-hmm. And Paul Rudd, which anybody who's watched one and two would know, he appeared at the end of season two. Mm-hmm. And at the very end of season two, he drops dead on stage. So this is the murder that they're now investigating, but it has its usual twists and turns. A lot of different things happening to all of the characters in it. And it's just really taken off. Like, I mean, you get the likes of Meryl Streep and Paul Rudd engaging in, you know, a platformed TV program like this. You just know that you've got a great, that you've got a great cast. Meryl Streep is hilarious in it. She plays very kind of demure and quiet and not a great actress. You know, she's searching for her voice. So she does like one of the things in it, and she's like doing all these different terrible accents, trying to figure out what her voice is going to be for the character she's playing. But it's very enjoyable. It's two in. It has the similar twists and turns of what it had in the past. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where it's going to go.
Now, one or two questions and comments. I can't get my five to watch Yellowstone. Can I watch it anywhere else?
Oh, no. At the moment, yeah, RTE had all the old seasons on the player and they pulled them off. I think they only have the new season. Does Paramount have it over here? No. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You have to have Sky Cinema.
Sky Cinema Paramount to get Paramount, yeah, it's available.
Or you have to obviously pay for the platform.
Yeah. I think the short answer is probably no. RTE was a great one stop for all the seasons up until about 6 months ago or 8 months ago, and they pulled everything. So I'll look into it. I just watch. He'll tell me, or justwatch.com will tell me that if I look it up. It's a great site for this kind of thing.
Yeah,
I think you just can't watch it anywhere for free.
In the meantime, while you're doing that, caller says, "Come on, Fionnuala and Michael, tell me you went to see Barbie."
Oh God!
Oh yeah!
Oh, we talked about Barbie.
Raved about it. Yeah, weeks ago. I think it's one of the best. The more I think about it, I raved about it. It's one of the best. Okay, yeah, I raved about it. I think it's just one of the best fantasy films I've ever seen. I think it's an absolute accomplishment. It's magnificent. Mm-hmm. Just so funny.
Yeah, I think my expectations were a bit too high for it, but I enjoyed it. Not to say that I didn't enjoy it, but I kind of felt bad for Ken.
Yeah.
Took it away from me slightly. I felt bad for Ken.
What about Alan?
And I thought,
do you not feel sorry for Alan?
Our Alan is really only a tangential character. But I did feel bad for Ken in it, even though the performances are amazing in it. But I was going to say Ryan.
Yeah, I'm sort of intrigued.
Gosling.
I haven't.
You haven't seen it,
No, I haven't been. No. It's funny, I've been to quite a few films. The only two sort of the contemporary sort of films being talked about, the only two I haven't seen
are Oppenheimer.
Are Barbie and Oppenheimer.
Right.
I've been to, there was Mission Impossible. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I would always have said that Mission Impossible and Indy were going to be my priorities.
Yes,
I was away for a while as well, so
of course,
I wasn't in the cinema, so no. And there is a little part of me, there is a little boy inside me, and that little boy is whispering into my ear, Meg 2.
I'm seeing that.
I'll be honest. I mean, you know, I think Oppenheimer is probably the next thing I'll go to.
It's great. It's great.
But as I say, I will be there, and the voice in my head is still going, Meg 2.
Of course, yeah. Barbie is very funny.
See Meg 2 at the weekend. Sneak in with them.
Barbie is definitely, Barbie is fun, but the thing is, it's smart. It's a smart film. It's got a finger on the pulse. And that's what I was hoping for, and it worked for me. And critics have embraced it, and it's huge. Isn't it over a billion now? It's like one of the biggest films ever. It's massive.
Oh, it's absolutely massive.
I'm always worried with a film like that to me, when you hear people, I went to see Barbie and I dressed up in pink when I was going and all that, I'm just always slightly worried. Are we basically talking hype?
Oh, of course, I know what you mean.
Just major hype.
Is
there more substance to it?
Yeah, I would say there is, but ultimately you'll be your own judge. I mean, you will see it at some point, I'm sure. But yeah, of course, when the hype machine worries me as well. It does. It surrounds certain things. Of course it does.
They could give, not since Deadpool has there been such amazing marketing as there has
been. It's been really good, really good marketing.
You know, they really put amazing marketing into it. Even the of a lot of movies now, and particularly the ones coming up, are going to be, you would imagine, negatively impacted by all the striking that's going on in Hollywood.
Yeah.
They had all their stuff in the bag. Like, it's constantly coming up on any kind of social media feed is the Barbie marketing. They really put as much into that as they did into the movie itself.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it made good money for them. Yeah. I did think it was smart. I just kind of felt it was going to be smarter. I think that's what was wrong with it.
Yeah, sure.
It is definitely worth going to see. And if you were a Barbie fan back in the day, you will love the look and the aesthetic and that kind of thing in it. It is beautiful.
And Barbie was in the 90s, a long-running, very successful Marvel comic book series, which I only found out after the film, I have to be honest. I'm not a hardcore Barbie fan, although I'm a Marvel fan. But yeah, it was a very popular series, ran for several, there was actually two comics every month, and it was very popular.
Okie doke, short break, back after these. This is the final 9 minutes of the 9 till noon show this morning. I want to tell you our winners of our Heritage Week competition. It's the last of our Heritage Week winners for this week. The answer, we gave you the clues. It's a castle in a park. It's got a big lake beside it, and you can walk or take a bus to the castle. It was, of course, Glenveagh National Park. Our winners are Elaine Call of Ballyraine in Letterkenny, and also Roisin McLean in Convoy. So Elaine Call in Ballyraine Letterkenny and Roisin McLean in Convoy are our two winners. Congratulations to you. Well, earlier during our Friday panel, we asked Michael Harrison if there was any final comments he wanted to make, and he just asked if someone could sort out the weather. And I suppose when it comes to weather, if anyone can, Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather can. Alan, good morning to you.
Good morning, Donald.
Alan, are you going to make our weekend for us?
Nah. Well, if I could, I would, is the first thing to say. But unfortunately, I don't control it. But it's going to be a very mixed bag. So we have some showers today. We have some heavy rain moving in tonight. So if you're out partying late after midnight, prepare for the rain, because it will be a wet night. But it will be probably 10 p.m. before it really starts to push in. Tomorrow, then, is going to be a very mixed bag. It's going to be very breezy this evening, and that wind is going to continue into Saturday. Very windy. Showers, but sunny spells. Now, probably in the northwest, we'll see a lot of showers, but you might kind of, this is one of the days now where people are going to look at the weather forecast and they're going to think it's going to rain all day and they're going to give up. And then they're going to be out tomorrow and there's probably only going to be a few showers because they're going to be hit and miss. So it is going to be localized, but there is going to be quite a bit of showers. Sunday, again, is showery as well, but some sunny spells. Temperatures probably around 17 or 18 degrees. So my advice for the weekend is, keep an eye on the radar, keep an eye above you, keep the brolly maybe at hand, but don't write it off because there will be sunny spells and there may not be as many showers as been forecast.
But it mightn't necessarily be the weekend to crack out the Barbie and depend on an hour and a half of good weather to get the steaks on.
No, it may not be that, indeed. And probably very breezy as well. That would make that a little bit tricky as well. But still, not too bad to be able to get out and about. It's not going to be sitting and look at a dull, dark weekend. And the good news is less showers next week. Now, still some showers, but less showers next week. The Northwest will see probably any that we do get, but not as much rain is probably as good as we can get at the moment.
Alan, thank you very much indeed. That's Alan from Carlow Weather there, Alan O'Reilly, our regular contributor on a Friday. Alan, great to talk to you as always. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks, Alan.
Okie doke. We just have a few minutes left with Michael and Fionnuala. A caller's just been in touch to say, watched Lincoln Lawyer season 1 and 2, loved it, 11 out of 10. Anyone know when season 3 is coming out?
No, I'm watching season 2 at the moment. It's just after dropping. So I would imagine, going back to what Phil was saying, the strike is going, I mean, you would imagine they'd be going into production on season 3 probably this winter, but now there's a big question mark. So that's an excellent question. Mm. But like every other show, I think it's going to be a while because there's no sign of, it's past 100 days yesterday, I seen them. Because I follow a lot of those guys on social media. I don't know. Season 3, I'd say it'll be a while. Might be longer than next summer.
With this strike going on as long as it is, a lot of the shows that we're waiting for that should be dropping this time next year are going to be pushed out to the new year, and whether that even means it goes into 2025 before they do it.
Yeah.
So this time next year, Michael and I could be recommending that you watch only things that were made in the 70s and 80s.
I'll be back. I'll take out my Starsky and Hutch DVDs. I'm always happy to recommend
share
those.
Them. You'll share them with everybody else. Because it's definitely going to have a major impact on what we're watching and new programs in particular. But even things like a lot of the movies and stuff like that that are being made. You know, I mean, I'm a big fan of, shockingly, people might be surprised here, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
And, you know, Deadpool.
Shut down.
They'd shut down completely rather than try and keep going.
Yeah.
Because even though they had the script, they can't even improvise.
Yep.
Which I thought was amazing. That they can't even improvise while they're making it, which obviously would be a big
It's right. Well, it's right. Yeah, it's writing.
Because they consider that writing. It would,
and the actors themselves.
And the actors are themselves striking.
They're on strike.
Yeah, so they're on strike.
Yeah.
So, but Lincoln Lawyer season 2, going back to what the caller said, I mean, it's I loved season 1. I think it's not as good as Goliath, as I was saying last week, which is a very similar show. But season two is off to a cracking start. I thought the first episode had an amazing twist.
Yeah.
An amazing twist. I know you guys have read the books and you're like blasé about all the twists. Yeah. You're like, oh, look at Michael. He thinks all these. But I didn't know the books. And I was like, wow.
Oh, it's always good when, you know, you can approach a TV program like that with fresh eyes, as it were. And believe you me, sometimes having read the books is a sort of a downside. I remember well watching an episode of Game of Thrones, sort of knowing damn well what was about to happen in 5 minutes' time as we were going by the story. And Emer and Kieran, the two offspring, were sitting beside me. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm trying not to look at them and go, wait, you see what's about to happen. And just what I did is I sneak in and look just to watch the looks on their faces. I could have told you, you know, frame by frame what was about to happen. And, you know, looking at them, it's like, wonderful. Love that.
I don't mind when I've read the book beforehand. Yeah. Sometimes I think it can add to it.
It can. Well, I loved Good Omens. You know, I said the first Good Omens I loved because I'd read the book and I was familiar with the nice and accurate prophecies of Alice Nutter, which... but then when you saw season two and it was, you know, completely different, it was...
But even if you're a little... I'm 2 weeks behind with Star Trek Strange New Worlds, which I adore. My two housemates are up to the minute.
Yeah.
And after watching, like, last week's episode... One of them in particular sort of ran into my office space and was like, oh, I can't talk about it, but I want to talk about it. I'm like, go away.
Yeah.
Go away.
I'm on a schedule.
Go away.
I'm on a schedule.
I'm sticking to my schedule.
I have watched 967 episodes of Star Trek. I'm watching my 968 on Wednesday at 9 o'clock.
I am very close to getting. I am actually, I know because you've seen it on Facebook. At the end of August, I will have hit 800 episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah. One final comment from a listener.
Telling people that.
I'm proud of that.
Yeah. I know, in the privacy of your own home.
Hey, this is Michael and Star Trek we're talking about.
Here.
You know well, all bets are off when it comes to Michael and Star Trek.
And I'll then be.
He might go for a job somewhere.
And then I'll be 93 episodes behind because there are, by the end of the summer, there will be 893 episodes of Star Trek.
Final comment, very briefly, final comment from a listener, and we literally have about 50 seconds. Here's some retro Legend, which is channel 148 on your box. Saturday mornings, the original series of The $6 Million Man.
Legend.
It's channel 148. The original series of The $6 Million Man is shown.
I have that on DVD. I'm on season 4. It's a great... It works. Steve Austin, Lee Majors. Lee Majors is Steve Austin. Yeah.
The actual actor.
Lee Majors.
We have the power.
We can rebuild him.
Technology.
Better than he was before. Better.
Faster.
Stronger.
Stronger.
Yeah.
We have the power.
I love
to create the world's first Bionic Man. Da, 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 da,
da, da. And it's a show, I love it for many reasons, but it's a show that morphs. Early years are very espionage driven. Later years are more sci-fi driven. Yeah. Different producers. Kenny Johnson came and went. Harve Bennett. I mean, yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah.
Actually, just thinking there, you know what I'd love to see if anybody knows where it's on, like this Legend, is The Greatest American Hero.
Oh!
Just popped into my head when I think
believe
of...
Believe it they or would, not,
great show.
You know, on a Saturday, you kind of watch them together.
Okay. So good.
So definitely.
I also have that show. I watched it. Season 1 and Season 2 are fantastic. And Season 3 lost the plot and then it was cancelled and I don't know what went wrong. It really just went down. But never mind, Season 2 and Season 1 are amazing.
And on that note, Michael Fanula, thank you very much indeed. Thanks to Caroline and to Niamh for producing. Trudy is up next around the Northwest. Greg's back in the hot seat on Monday. It's been an absolute pleasure all this week. But for myself, Donal, goodbye. Have a great day.